We greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. I'm thankful for the privilege to be here. I've been blessed by the song service, by the devotional, and by the Sunday school hour. Feeling God's presence here, the Spirit of God meeting our very needs. And as we go into the further of this service, as we go into the message, I thank you for your prayers. And I want to be a servant of God to deliver that which God has spoken to me of. For a message this morning, I invite your attention to 1 Timothy 6. The thought that was left in our Sunday school lesson this morning, that of David falling into sin and God working in his life, even though in the position that he was in, yet he still needed God's forgiveness. He still needed God's purging. And that goes hand in hand with what we want to speak on this morning. We look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, reading in verse 11 and verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This morning I would like to preach on the subject of fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. We're all called to be warriors in God's kingdom. We are to be soldiers in the army of God. And when a soldiers go out to war, there are two principal things of why they go out to war, and that is to ensure liberty and freedom. Generally speaking, there is someone, and they want to go out and break the domain that they're under. They're living under someone else's dominion, and they want to be free from that. And that's why there is war. They need soldiers to do that. And this morning we find ourselves in that as soldiers of Jesus Christ. But one way we can look at it this morning for us, there has been a war fought, but that war has been won. The war between God and Satan has already been won. Jesus arose from the dead. And yes, the scriptures would tell us that had the princes of this world known of what would happen, that Jesus would arise from the dead, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. So this morning, as I think about the battle that has been won, that yes, evil men went out and they went and crucified our Lord, but yet God broke the powers of Satan, broke the powers of sin, and Jesus arose from the dead. That powers of Satan that was defeated, there was victory, and this morning you and I can be a part of that. Yet in all of that, even though that war has been won, yet Satan is here still with us. And Revelation talks about that Satan is bound by a chain. And that tells me that he can still move around. The lease that Satan has in our life is still with us. We still have to deal with Satan. And this morning, as you as a child of God, Satan cannot hinder you from being a Christian. Satan cannot stop you from doing God's work. You can be a Christian. You can be victorious in your Christian walk of life. But Satan will do all he can to hinder your work for him, for God. And that's where the battle is. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You can have eternal life this morning. But there are times that we're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to fight to keep that. And there have always been two kingdoms, and there will always be two kingdoms. And those two kingdoms that are at odds with each other. They always will be, and they always have been, and they always will be. But this morning, you and I are in either one kingdom or the other. And what kingdom this morning are you fighting for? Are you fighting for the kingdom of God, or are you fighting for the kingdom of Satan? Thank the Lord this morning that the kingdom of God will always stand. Jesus told Peter, he said, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God's kingdom is not going to fail. It will stand. And also in Romans 8 it says, "Nay, but in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that hath loved us." We can and we are victors through Christ. And if you're going to fight for God, you are on the winning side. But this morning, as I think about fighting, you will fight for what you defend. You will fight for what you love. You fight for what you have faith in. If you have faith and confidence in your money, you're going to fight for money. If you have faith and confidence in God, you're going to fight for God. You fight for what you love. And this morning, that's why parents fight for their children. That's why when their children are sick and they're tired and they're weary, yet the mother and the father will get up and take care of their child because they love it. They will fight that they can get better. That's why parents hate it when their children get bullied. They love their children. They hate that when their child gets bullied, and they will fight for their child. We fight for what we love. But in order to fight, you must believe in the cause. We are to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So this morning, what are you fighting for? There is a cross before the crown. There is a fight before the victory. And this morning, I trust that you, by your presence here, that you are fighting a fight. But I'm asking the question, how has been your fight in the last year? In the last 3 years, in the last 5 years, in your fight for the kingdom of God, how has that fight been? To you, has it been victorious? Have you and the Lord won victories? Or has it been for you in that fight? It's a little bit like keeping apples in the water. It just seems like it's a constant battle. We just never get it in. And I'm not necessarily saying this morning that there is rest in our Christian walk of life. And it's not like that we're always going to keep all the apples under the water. But on the same hand, friends, we're on the victor's side. We're on the winning side. And we need to experience that victory in our lives. When is the last fight you and God won together? Or has that battle that you have been in, has it been so long with you and the Lord that you really don't remember when the last battle was that you won? And you know, we talk about anger management, we talk about hatred management, but friends, this morning, there's no such thing as anger management. Anger cannot be managed. Anger needs to be resolved. And this morning, what are you fighting this morning? I believe that's the reason that we live in defeat in our own lives and in our homes and in our churches, because we're living in defeat. Because what are you fighting this morning? Do we have a facade of what we're fighting? But friends, this morning, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. That is the basis for our fight this morning, is eternal life. Get that in order with your life. Lay hold on eternal life. And when I talk about lay hold, that means, you know, I lay hold on this. You have it. And this morning, do you have that eternal life? Is that what you're fighting with and for? Well, what is the fight this morning? You know, President Eisenhower, he was a hunter. And he went over there to Africa and he hunted those exotic animals over there. And after he got done with his hunt, he came home on the ship. And as he came to the shores of the eastern United States, there was a crowd that was gathered around there. They was waiting for their president. He was coming back to his home country. And as the ship came to port, and as they laid that plank down, and they laid the carpet out for the president to come out and to meet the people, they sang the national anthems. They was glad to see the president back home again. And after the president was on the ground, and they rolled up the carpet, and then they unloaded the rest of the people on that ship, there was a person that just was one of the last ones off, and that was a missionary that had come back from Africa. He had went over there to tell those dark-skinned people about the Lord, because he loved the Lord. But he contacted that dreaded disease called malaria, and he couldn't get better there. So he sent him back to the United States, sent him back home to get better. And there as he walked off that plank, there was no one to meet him. And as he lay there in his motel room that night, all alone, God, where are you? I love you, Lord. But where are you? There was no one to meet me tonight. As I got off that ship, I went over there to Africa to teach the people about Jesus. And then I got sick and I'm sent home. And yet here I am all alone tonight. Where are you, God? And that still small voice said, Son, you're not home yet. So this morning that fight is on. Let's turn to Romans 7. In Romans 7 verse 18 through verse 25, it says, Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let's turn our Bibles to John 15 also. John 15, we'll read the first three verses. John 15, the first three verses, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The reason for this reading this morning, there are times in our Christian walk of life that it seems like it's not only Satan that we're fighting, but it seems like we got to fight for our eternal life with God. And I don't want you to get mixed up with that, but God does purge and clean us. There are times that God prunes us. And you may think that's a fight in order to keep, you know, it seems like we're in a battle here. We have Satan here that's fighting for us to lose our faith, and then we got God on this other side that's pruning us. And here we are in the middle. Friends, this morning, we have God that is working for our good. And Satan is out to destroy our lives. He is wanting us to lose that eternal life. And then we got God that is working to prune us, to make us a better vessel for him. We have God that is pruning us to clean out the dross in our life Sometimes in our lives we get the same impression that maybe Naaman did. You think about Naaman when he had that leprosy in his life. What happened, I think it was Elijah that told Naaman, go out and dip yourself into Jordan 7 times. Why did God ask him to go dip in the Jordan 7 times into a river, a muddy river? Maybe this morning sometimes you get the idea that God is asking that very same thing of you. Why is God asking you to dip into the water 7 times? Why can't we do it the first time? But there we are, we're dipping into the water 7 times before we see the day, see the light of the situation. Are we living in Romans 7 this morning? God has a purpose in our lives, why God does what he does to us. And maybe you are dipping in the water 7 times before you get your answer. Don't give up on God. God has a work in your life. In Romans 8 it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is for he is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In 1 Peter 5 it says, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking to destroy. So this morning we are in a fight. And may I impress that upon you this morning, we are in a fight. We are fighting Satan. We are fighting evil. Do you understand that? It's a battle, friends, this morning, that there is no time for giggles. There's no time for casualness. There's no time for lukewarmness. But it's a time when we need to be right with God. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There will always be that fight between God and the Spirit of God and the spirit of the flesh. It happens within you. And it's up to us what we're going to give allegiance to. And that fight will go on till we die. We're not home yet. And that fight is not over. And we are no match for Satan. So that's why it's imperative this morning that you are on the Lord's side. God is stronger than Satan. Be on the Lord's side this morning. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you understand the fight this morning? What are you fighting? If you have the attitude that you can fight it your own way, that you don't need God's help, Satan loves that. He loves you if that's your attitude this morning. Well, what is the answer? We can talk about the fight that we're in. We can talk about Satan that he is walking about as a roaring lion. But what is the answer to that? Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians 6. And I suppose all of you Bible scholars know what we're saying on that when we talk about Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Did you notice in that passage that I read, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the power of his might. In verse 11, there is a word that stands out to me. It says, stand. Stand. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 14, it says, stand, therefore. Friends, this morning we can't fight sitting. We need to stand and we need to be strong. We cannot fight in a sitting position. And friends, this morning, husbands and fathers this morning, where are you in your fight? Can your wife and your children stand behind you and know that they feel safe there because that enemy is not going to come to their families, because dad is going to stand. Dad's going to keep the enemy away from his family to the best of his knowledge. Can they see in your life that you're fighting the good fight of faith? That you're fighting the good fight? Do you have on the full armor of God this morning, you husbands and fathers? Or do you think that you can go into life, or you can go throughout the day and maybe not have on prayer? That you can leave your helmet off? Husbands and fathers this morning, does Satan have any inroads in your life? Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ this morning? Are you standing for truth? Or are you sitting in your recliner and asking your wife to fight the fight? Are you asking your wife to watch the door because you're in your recliner? Why am I impressing that upon the husbands and fathers this morning? Because, friends, that's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to stand for truth and to be strong and to protect our wives and our children. What are you fighting for this morning, husbands and fathers? The thing that you're fighting for, and if you get what you're fighting for, we live in America and we get what we want. And I'm convinced this morning that the thing that you're fighting for, you will get. But when you get what you want, if you get what you're fighting for, which you will, is it what you want? And if you get what you want, is it going to take you to heaven? You know, I'm not that old. I'm only 54 years old. But yet in that same token, I can remember things that happened 40 and 45 years ago. And I think about my own life. I think about my uncles. I think about people I went to church with, men that I went to church with. I've watched them grow. I've watched them in the heat of the day as a young man. I've watched them when they had a good corn crop. I watched them when they had church problems. I watched when they had school problems. They had joys and sorrows of life. They had the adversity of the blessings of church life. How they handled those things. But I've watched them die. I have very few uncles left. Some of those men that I went to church with when I was a young man, they're no longer with us. But as I think over their lives, what did they fight for? And did what they fight for carry them to the end? So that's my question is this morning. You will fight for what you love. You will defend what you love. So this morning, husbands and fathers, what are you fighting for? And if you get what you're fighting for, is it what you want? Those men that I'm talking about, my uncles, till it came to the end, what they professed that they was fighting for, did it carry them to the end? For some, it did not. I had an Uncle Joe. On his deathbed, he asked for a can of beer. No, I don't expect to see him in heaven. But I will say one thing for Uncle Joe. He was never a hypocrite. I had another uncle. He was probably one of my favorite uncles. His name was Pete. Pete had many friends. Pete was the life of the party. He did many good things. But Pete got old, and he died at the age of 92 years old. He had a heart condition, and they wanted to repair his heart, but he wouldn't do it because he said, when the ticker's done, I'm going to quit. But in that last year of his life, he was very weak. And I remember I would call into the family many times, to his son and his daughter, and I would ask how their dad was doing. And I remember one time I talked to Anna, and she said, I feel good about Dad. Dad's ready to go. And it kind of took me aback, and I says, oh? And she said, yes. We children have felt a little bit not comfortable with Dad and his life. So we leveled out with Dad here sometime about his Christianity and about his right, being right with God. And she said, Dad confessed things from his youth. But she says, we feel good about it now. This morning, depends on what you're fighting for. Is it going to carry what you're fighting for? Is it going to carry you to the end? If you're fighting for money this morning, it's not going to carry you to the end. And friends, time does not erase sin, no matter how old you get. What is your fight this morning? Is one of your fights that you're fighting is to keep your sins covered? And if you hear me say that this morning, that one of your fights is, and I'm not asking you to tell me that, but if you're fighting to keep your sins covered this morning, I can guarantee you one thing. You're doing it in a very religious manner. And Satan loves that. Satan loves you. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That eternal life is the basis for our fight. 2 Corinthians 10, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. Our weapons are mighty through Christ. Did you notice in that one verse there it says, and bringing our thoughts into the captivity of Christ? How is your thought life this morning? Would you care if your spouse, if your siblings, if your preachers knew what you was thinking? If God, if they knew your thoughts? Well, friends, this morning, God already knows your thoughts. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's where it begins, friends. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Is God pleased with you this morning? Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? And what kind of soldier are you? What are you fighting for this morning? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1, verse 17 through 20. We have a charge here that Paul gave unto Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17 through verse 20. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme, that thou mightest war a good warfare. This morning, I know that it's a fight, I know it's a battle, but it's a good fight. It's because we're on the winning team, we're on the winning side. And keep your focus upon God, and don't look at what Satan has to offer, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Friends, this morning, keep your focus upon God. Let God be your captain. Let God be your war veteran. But keep in mind that we are to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Keep your eternal life in order. That's the basis for your fight. Well, Paul had this testimony. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Is that your testimony this morning? I want it to be that when you come to the end of life, that you can say that I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. In closing, I would like to tell a little story about a little boy whose mother was in the hospital. No one told the little boy that his mother was dying in the hospital, but that's just what he knew. And the time frame of what we're talking about is when this little boy's mother was in the hospital. It was back in the day when only adults could go into where the patients were and visit the patients, and children and those that were not of age could not go in and visit the patients. And if they did go visit the patient, it was because the doctor had given permission that they could go do so. And that was the situation this little boy found himself in. His mother was in the hospital, and his mother was sick and dying, but no one told him that she was dying. His dad would go to the hospital each afternoon and visit his mother, visit his wife, and visit the little boy's mother. But each day that dad came home, the boy could see that his dad, the light in his eyes were going out, the light in his eyes were getting a little dimmer each day, his shoulders were starting to sag. And there was more than once he would see his dad just staring out into the open, just staring into space, so to speak. And the boy knew that his mother was dying. So one day when his dad came home, he came home a little early, and he went and found the little boy, and he said, "Son, I want you to go in and change your clothes. We're going in to see Mom." And then the boy knew. He knew that his mother was on her deathbed, and they was asking him to go and visit his mom, and she was going to give those final words unto him. So the little boy went in and changed his clothes. He came back into the kitchen. Came down into the kitchen. There his dad was waiting on him. No one said a word as he walked out of the house and they got in the vehicle and they headed in toward town. No one said a word when they pulled into that hospital parking lot, and there they parked. They got out of the vehicle. And as he walked in toward that big red brick building, the little boy was an observant little boy. He noticed little details of life. But he followed his dad, and his dad came up to those double doors in that hospital, and the doors opened up automatically. The little boy had never seen anything like that before. But as he walked through those double doors, and as he walked into the room, there they came into a room. There was a whole bunch of couches and chairs sitting around this room, and there were just people sitting there. But the little boy followed his dad. The little boy was enthralled as he seen how clean everything was. The floors just glittered because they were so clean. But his dad kept on walking. His dad went down the hallway, and he followed his dad down that hallway. And there, as he was walking down that hallway, there he seen pictures on the walls of men in their suits and ties. They were old looking men, but he didn't have time to stop and look. Could he, if he stopped and looked at all that, he would have found out that was the past presidents of the hospital. But he followed his down that hallway, and they got down to the end of the hallway. His dad took a left, and he walked a little short distance. And there his dad stopped, and there was a little indent in the wall. He really didn't see nothing unusual about it, but there was an indent in the wall. And beside that indent, there was a little silver plate there. And his dad hit the button. And when his dad hit that button, there was a light come on. And in front of that light, there was an arrow that pointed up. And just as he hit that button, there was a clangety, clangety, clangety noise. And there that little boy sat and wondered, what is that? But he had remembered reading about how that they have these little rooms in these big buildings that they go up and down, and it makes it that you don't need to go up the stairway. So he assumed that it was probably an elevator. But just as he had hit that, as his dad had just hit that button, and as he was hearing that clangety clangety noise, they heard another noise, and it was down there toward the left. And him and his dad both looked toward the left. And there they seen this man come and talk, was not running, but he was walking very fast toward them. The man was dressed in dress clothes. He was dressed with had dress shoes on. The man had a necktie on. And that really wasn't that abnormal to the little boy, but on the outside of all them dress clothes, the man had kind of looked like a long white gown on. And on the, around the man's neck, it looked like a little stainless steel tube around it. And the bottom of it, there was a little flexible tube, and it looked like a great big button at the bottom of it. And the man was walking toward them. And the man, as a little boy, as he watched it, it seemed like that face looked familiar, and he kept on watching. The man kept on coming closer. And then it seemed like it came to his mind that he remembered seeing a picture of that man's face in the newspaper. And that man was a great doctor. He'd read how this man was in their local hospital. There was this great doctor in their local hospital of his intelligence, of how he could make people well. And the man kept coming closer. About that time, this door, this indent in the wall, all of a sudden opened up. And his dad seen that. His dad seen this man coming. And his dad called out to the man, and he said, "Shall we wait on you?" And the man said, "Please do it." He walked just a little bit faster. The dad went up there, and he put his hand up on the jamb of the wall to keep the door from closing, and the little boy walked in. And just as he walked in, the doctor came in and walked in at the same time. And before the door closed, the little boy looked up into the eyes of that doctor, and he says, "Are you Dr. so-and-so?" The doctor heard the question, but it seemed like in that question there was many, many more questions in that little boy's mind. In that question, the doctor looked down at that little boy, and there he seen the little boy that his hands were clammy, his shoulders were sagging. He seen there were tears gathering in that little boy's eyes. The doctor knew the rules of the hospital. There he seen this man that was standing beside the little boy, that it looked like it was probably his father. And the doctor made the assumption that probably what's going on is that little boy's mother, that man's wife, is up their stairs, and they've given permission to that little boy that he can go up and visit his mother one last time before she died. And you know that as that doctor looked down at that little boy, you know they say a picture says 1,000 words. And that's kind of where that doctor was that morning. He took this all in a glance as he looked down at that little boy. And he said, "Yes, I am. Is there anything that I can do for you?" The little boy dropped his head, but immediately he brought his head back up, and he looked into the eyes of that doctor, and a tear fell down on his cheek. He said, "Yes, how far is it to heaven? How far is it to heaven?" The doctor was a Christian. The doctor was a compassionate man. And without a moment's hesitation, he got down on his knees beside that little boy. He took his watch off his hand, and he held that watch up to the little boy's ear. And the clock went tick, 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 tick. He held it there for a few moments. And because of the position of how the doctor was standing, and because of the height of the little boy, they could make eye contact. The doctor looked at the little boy, and he says, Can you hear that? The little boy broke out in a grin, and he shook his head, yes. The doctor stood up, he patted the little boy on the shoulder, and he said, that's how far it is to heaven. Friends, this morning, we're just a heartbeat away. Fight the good fight of faith. Can you hang on just another heartbeat? We're almost home. We're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor. Then we'll sit down beside the river. How we long to be with Jesus and our loved ones going before us. There's a better day coming. We're not home yet. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials here will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So daily run the race, so bravely run the race till we see Christ. So daily fight the good fight of faith till we see Christ. We may become weary in the fight, but let's never become weary of the fight. He that endureth unto the same shall be saved. I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the prize. What is that prize for us this morning? That prize is to see Jesus, but it's going to take a fight till we get there. But let's keep on keeping on. Let's kneel for prayer.